Welcome to Digital Marketing for Contractors, a podcast for home improvement contractors to help you crush your lead goals and take your business to the next level. Join us each episode as we give you powerful insights and practical tips on the best digital marketing strategies to help you grow your home improvement business. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Digital Marketing for Contractors podcast. This is a podcast that is all about helping home improvement contractors to crush your lead goals and take your business to the next level. Digital Marketing for Contractors is hosted by Fat Cat Strategies. We are a digital marketing agency that is based out of Raleigh, North Carolina. My name is Don. I'm one of the account managers here at Fat Cat.
And I am Janet. I am the founder and managing partner.
And all right, today we are excited to be able to jump in with you guys and talk some about something that I know is a hot topic for a lot of home improvement contractors, just trying to learn and understand what this is all about. And so we really want to try to provide some help and some clarity today for y'all around the idea of Google My Business, what Google My Business really is, how it's meant to help you, and what are some just practical things that you can do to be able to take advantage of this great and free tool that you can use for your business. So, Janet, why don't you just get us started by kind of telling everybody a little bit of, like, at a basic level, what is Google My Business?
Yeah, Don. So Google My Business, we've all experienced it. I'm going to go back to an example that's not in the contracting world because I think that it kind of helps people wrap their heads around stuff. Let's say you're looking for pizza. Everybody loves pizza. You get on your phone and you say, pizza restaurants near me, or a friend has recommended a specific pizza place, and you Google the name of that. On your phone, the result for that pizza restaurant is probably not going to be the website of the pizza restaurant. It's going to be the Google My Business listing. So you've likely seen that. You can see the name of the company. You see the button to click for get directions. You can click through to call the phone number. You can see their hours. You see reviews. All of those elements are part of the property, the Google property called the Google My Business listing. And what's funny, Don and I were just talking about this right before we started recording. We're calling it Google My Business, but change is the only thing that's constant in our world. Google's not calling it Google My Business anymore. Remind me again, Don, what are they calling it now?
They are slowly but actively changing it to Google Business Profile.
Okay, so whatever it's called, whenever you happen to be listening to this, it is the property on Google that a business has to claim and then populate with information, populate it with hours, phone number, products you sell, your address. That is the thing that's going to show up first on phones and on a desktop. If you're doing a search, it is the, at the time we recorded this, it is the little box that floats on the right-hand side of the search that will usually have a thumbnail picture of the front of the business, the hours, and all that stuff. Yeah. So that's what the Google My Business or the Google Business Profile is.
Yeah. And so, as a consumer, I look at that and I go, this is super helpful. You know, yes. I find all the information kind of that I want right there as soon as I search for something. I mean, it is readily available, you know, and like to use your example about pizza, like if I know what I want, like I just hit the call button, you know, or the go to website or even order straight from, you know, that profile listing, and all of it's done and taken care of there for me. It just makes it really super easy to get what I want.
So Don, tagging on to something that you just said, as a consumer, you said, oh, okay, I'm just going to click to call, or I'm going to hit the button to get directions and all that's really convenient, or I might go to their website. I think it's important for us to talk about that a little bit because let's just hammer this home a little bit more. Your Google My Business listing is not the same thing as your website.
Yeah.
It can drive traffic to your website, but the consumer or the user has to actually take a little bit of an extra step to click the button to go to your website. So looked at from the consumer's perspective, this is just dead simple. It makes our lives easier. We get a phone number, we get directions, we get hours without having to dig for it. But from the business owner's perspective, and that's who you guys are listening, you've spent money, time, energy, and effort building a website that you're proud of and you want people to go visit it. Well, Google is kind of thwarting that a little bit. They're doing it in the service of all of us who are using Google to get phone numbers and directions. But what just happened is somebody's looking for pizza and they get all the information they need without actually going to the pizza restaurant's website.
Yeah.
And that's what's called a zero-click search. So as a contractor, when you're thinking about optimizing your business so local homeowners can find you, now you got two things to worry about. You've got to worry about your website and you have to worry about your Google My Business listing and the tasks and effort that it takes to require both of those are a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really important to kind of know and understand. And we're going to talk a little bit later in the podcast episode about just, you know, as a contractor, what you need to own about your own stuff. But I think that's important to realize is that when it comes to your website, like you, at least you should, but you do own your website. That's your content. That's your platform that you get to put your stuff up on. But with your Google My Business, you don't own that. That's Google technically owns it and you're just playing on their platform. Now, I think it's still really valuable to be able to use, but you know, data is showing right now when we're talking about this kind of in the early part of 2023 that over 60% of searchers are going to use your Google My Business profile before they use your website. So it is vitally important to make sure that you are taking advantage of that tool and that it's up to date and accurate, but to also know that at the end of the day, it isn't yours, it's Google's. And right. You know, they're playing the game of they want to keep eyeballs on their content the same way that you are. And so probably they're going to be really good at helping that 60% number even continue to go up over time, which is to say we want to keep people on our website and not necessarily send them to yours. So there's a give and take here. You know, like it's really good for consumers. This is really good for your leads. Like you're providing them information that is going to help them choose your business over time. But you're having to do it through another, you know, platform, which is Google. And that isn't always the easiest or the best thing to have to navigate around. So, you know, we do have to think about those things as we figure out, like, what's the best way to take advantage of these tools.
So, Don, why don't you walk somebody through, if you're listening to this and you don't have a Google My Business listing, or you've just, you know, left your former employer and you're setting up shop and you're trying to get optimized so homeowners can find you, how does one go about claiming their Google business profile?
Yeah. So, you know, this is one of the great things about using a platform like Google is that they are trying to make it as easy as possible for you to be able to do that. So one of the simplest ways to do it is just to search for your business name in Google. And then if there's not a profile already created, Google may actually have created a dummy one for you. And you can look there in the section, either if you're on a desktop, you can look on the right. If you are on a phone, it should be one of the first things that pops up. And if you haven't already created it, there will be a little thing in that profile that'll say claim this business or do you own this business or something like that, where you can click on it and then be able to start the process of saying, hey, this construction company or this remodeling company is actually my business and I want to be able to own this profile. If you don't see anything there, you can also go to business.google.com and just start the process of creating your profile and claiming and verifying your profile, you know, right through there. Again, over time, Google changes all of these things. So, you know, as we're talking about it here at the beginning part of 2023, you know, if you're listening much later than that, take it with a grain of salt. But you should be able to, you know, search for Google My Business or Google Business Profile and figure out what are the steps to kind of get started there. But the easiest and most basic things to do once you've got that up and running is just to take care of the things that you would think that, hey, if I'm a consumer, if I'm trying to find out how to get some remodeling services done for my home.
Like windows. I'm looking to get windows replaced.
Right. So you think about that and then think about your profile. Like, what are the most important things that a potential customer is looking for? Well, they need to know your business name. They probably want to see your business logo. They need to know how to get in touch with you, you know, your website, your phone number, your address, your hours that you're open. They probably want to know, like, what kind of work you do, what are your services, just the very basic things. Like, those are the places to start. Those are the things that are the easiest to update on a Google My Business profile, and really the things that you want to make sure that you've absolutely got in front of your potential customers.
Yeah. So let's take that example of a company that's doing window replacements. Likely you are doing windows, siding, roofing, and maybe gutters. So what you need to do once you claim your profile and you've logged in and you're able to click the button to edit and manage the profile, and again, as Don said, all the stuff changes. You know, Google will change the edit screen, but we've seen it called products and we've seen it called services. What you want to do is you want to load up your profile with the products and services that you offer. So in this example, you would add windows, you would add gutters, you would add roofing. Now, in times past, we had a place where we could link specific products to a specific page on your website. Like we keep saying, Google keeps changing the edit interface, so we'll see how long we're able to play that game. But think about it from the perspective of that homeowner who's looking for window replacement contractors near me. You want your company name to come up, and then at a glance, you want Google is trying to provide as much information about that company as they can without the user having to like dig around. So if you can show that user your hours, your address, the products that you're installing, and then, you know, they can click a button to get directions or click a button to call you. That's what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great. So, okay, let me ask you this question, because I think this is something that we come across from time to time, even working with some of our clients, which is, all right, so I've got this thing set up, this like Google My Business profile. You know, I don't necessarily know exactly what it is or what it's doing for me, but I understand it's important from a consumer's end. So I got it set up. Do I need to do anything with it? Like, is this just kind of the 21st century version of a Yellow Pages ad that I, you know, run one time a year and I don't have to worry about it?
Like, set it and forget it.
Yeah. You know, do I need to do anything to it? Like, is there something that I need to try to keep updated, or does Google update all that stuff for me? Or like, what am I supposed to do with it?
There is a world where you can set it and forget it. But if you are aggressively pursuing lead generation and you're trying to optimize your business so it's more easily found by homeowners in your service area, then we do not recommend that you, quote unquote, set it and forget it. What you're going to want to do is take that login information and periodically add photos, answer questions, add content, the same way you would add content to, say, your personal Facebook profile. You know, just a few sentences, post, and you're done. Google, I think when Google first created the Google My Business property and feature, they kind of treated it like a social media platform.
Uh-huh.
Nobody really uses it like that, but there is a function and a feature where you can post content to it. I don't pretend to think that users are actually scrolling through and reading the content that businesses are posting, but what we have found is that if you post consistently, what you're doing is you're feeding Google's algorithm information about the products and services that you install. So let's dive into a deeper example. Let's say you're a James Hardie siding contractor. You've got your Google My Business profile set up, and you've got your services listed as siding, roofing, and windows. But that GMB, that's what we'll use as a shorthand, that GMB profile doesn't really have the words James Hardie siding or any more specific details about other products that you install, CertainTeed, Marvin Windows. You can use the post content feature of your Google My Business profile to post, you know, just a paragraph or two and then link to something on your site. That way you're getting the words James Hardie, the words CertainTeed, the words Marvin Window affiliated with your business listing. So now if a homeowner is looking for something like James Hardie siding installers near me, then your Google My Business profile is more likely to show up because you've posted that content to the profile. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, you know, what you have in your Google My Business profile and in the posts along with it can help your search results in Google when people are searching for those kinds of things.
It's sending signals to the robots.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're, again, you know, we've talked about this, like you're playing on somebody else's platform. And so if you're playing by their rules, you're going to get, you know, more likely for your profile to show up in front of more people. And that's, you know, it is a game that we're playing and learning how to play, you know, and the rules change sometimes, but, you know, we do want to make sure that we're doing all that we can to help you guys and to help you understand like what are the best ways to utilize this profile and how to get it in front of your potential customers. So I know you talked about like making regular posts, you know, putting content onto the profile. But like, other than that, are there things that a contractor needs to be doing to be able to kind of keep things updated or just staying on top of the profile itself?
Don, that is a fantastic question. And that leads us into, I think, the most important part of Google My Business for home improvement contractors. Google My Business is the thing that your reviews are going to be associated with. So homeowners are looking for those reviews to validate and figure out if they can trust you and if they want to get a quote from you. And so when you are asking homeowners to review you, they are reviewing you through the property that you've claimed, that Google My Business listing. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we're looking, if we go back to the pizza restaurant and we're looking for best pizza near me and we see 175 reviews and it's 4.5 stars, that's what those reviews are associated with. And so if you don't have that profile claimed, you're not going to be able to have those reviews. And reviews, we've seen, are critical to lead generation success.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we recommend too that you respond and engage with those reviews. Even if it's, you know, you get a 5-star review and all they say is great work, all you have to respond is say thanks, you know, yeah, just something. But it both communicates to that customer that you saw their review and you appreciate what they said, but it also communicates to other customers that you are active and engaged. And as a potential business that they would work with, it shows something about your level of customer service that you pay attention to those kinds of things. And that goes a long way. That's kind of one of those like silent votes in your favor, that when people are looking at your business on the internet, they see those kinds of things, and it creates in them a sense of, oh, this is probably a business that I can trust. Look, here's some examples of the fact that they pay attention to their customers. They're responding to their reviews. They're on top of these kinds of things. And all of that goes a long way towards building that trustworthiness factor that helps a potential new customer say, yeah, this is a contractor that I would choose to work with. So the only way to do that is through your Google My Business profile. So when people talk about having Google reviews, or you see that on someone else's site and they've got, you know, 4.9 stars out of 5, like, this is where all of that lives. And this is the only place where you have the opportunity to be able to interact with and engage and respond to those reviews.
So one of the things I'm passionate about is trying to help contractors navigate the confusing world of the internet.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some things that we've seen with our clients where, you know, the challenges have come up.
Yeah.
My Business, and boy, have they come up.
Yeah.
The number one thing that, you know, you should take away if you're listening to this podcast, if you own a business and you have a Google My Business profile, you need to pull the truck over right now and ask yourself, do I know how to log into this thing?
Yeah.
Because if you don't know how to log into it, or you don't know for sure, I've written down a username and password that I can access as an administrator, I am going to strongly encourage you to address that. Because what we've seen is, we'll start to work with a new customer. Let's say they're a roofing contractor. Let's say they've been in business for 5 years. One of the things that we do during onboarding is we try to get access as your agency so that we can help you take care of your Google My Business profile. And yeah, so we say, hey, add us as an authorized user. And then our customer will go, I don't even know how to log into it.
Right.
My office manager set that up 4 years ago. She left. She moved to another state. I don't even know how to log into
it. Right.
And then the fun begins.
Yeah. Fun is a nice word for it. But yes, that is definitely some of the headache that we've experienced. And I think in that, it's really important to say, let's just, you know, number one, say, hey, it's okay to have someone else who's helping you do this. Like, this doesn't have to be a
task
as a contractor owner, that this necessarily sits on your plate. It is totally okay to have some help with doing this, but you need to know that the way that they're accomplishing those things are done through your business and not through like some other kind of personal account. So if your office manager is the one who manages your Google My Business profile for you, that's totally fine. But are they doing that using an email address that is associated with your business, or are they using their personal email address? It needs to be something that's associated with your business, because just like you said, Janet, if that person moves on at some point in time, you as the business need to still have access to this profile. And if they move on and they've been managing it through their personal email address, guess who that profile stays with? Doesn't stay with your business. It stays with that other person's personal email address. So you've got to make sure that the primary owner of your Google My Business profile is a address that's associated with your business. We typically recommend, if you've got like a admin at or info at or something like that, that's always going to be associated with your business, that you use that account as your primary owner for your Google My Business profile. And that you have that password logged somewhere for people to be able to find and use. And anytime you change it, that you update that, you know, spreadsheet or whatever it is where you've got that password saved, so that you know how to be able to access it and you can guarantee that you're not going to lose your ownership of your profile.
I'm going to translate what Don said into a little story. Let's say you're a roofing contractor in Alabama and you had an office manager named Stacy. And when you first set up the shop, you said, "Hey, Stacy, somebody told me we need to get registered on Google." And you might have used words like registered, which isn't really correct, but whatever. You're busy. You're a roofer.
Yeah.
You don't really care about this stuff. Stacy seemed smart and intelligent, and she was capable. You could assign her things, and Stacy would just do them. You came back to the office. "Hey, Stacy, did you get us registered on Google?" And Stacy said, "Yep, sure did." Okay. Well, what she did was she claimed your business listing using her personal Gmail address.
Yeah.
StacyRocks@gmail.com. Okay, then Stacy leaves. She moves to Texas. She, like, 2 years later, that little episode where she initially claimed your business listing several years ago does not stand out in your mind because it was not the most important thing that day. Now you've got 135 reviews. You've got your business hours. You've got a lot invested in that Google My Business profile, and Stacy is long gone.
Yeah.
And you are not going to be able to log into her StacyRocks@gmail.com because she's got a bunch of personal stuff in there. And that is the only email address associated with your business that you own.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about.
Yeah. So guess what you can't do? You can't update your profile. You can't respond to reviews. You can't change your hours. You can't change your address or your phone number if any of that changes.
You can't add services.
You can't do anything.
Yeah. Let's say you started in roofing and now you're installing Pella windows. You can't add that. You can't do anything with it because you've got this profile associated with a former employee.
Yeah.
Now, back to Don's example, there's nothing wrong with having your office manager have access to it. Because you can have multiple users associated with that profile. What we're telling you is you need to be one of those users.
Yeah.
You or your business partner. And somebody needs to know what the email address is associated. And, I mean, let's break it down even further. When you go to log into that, the username is going to be an email address.
Yeah.
So it's got to be an email address that you know how to get access to.
Yeah.
I mean, we've just seen... This seems so boring to talk about, but just in the past 6 months, we've had multiple contractors that are up and running. They employ people, they are serving jobs, and they've been locked out of their Google My Business listing. And it's kind of a big deal, and it's not easy to fix.
Right, because here's what's at stake there if you don't have that. Like, what ends up happening is your profile either becomes out of date or just become something that is irrelevant, and then customers who are looking for your type of business online are going to see that and not choose you because you can't keep your profile up to date. So it literally is costing you leads and potential sales because you just don't have the right username and password associated with your account. It seems like it's a small thing, but it actually turns into a really big thing and a big deal for affecting the success of your business. So yeah, I'll jump in and share another story too, because I think this is, you know, important and relevant to what we're talking about. But another thing that I would say in terms of, you know, how to make sure that you're kind of playing by the rules. You know, that's one of the things we talked about was, like, you don't own the Google platform. Like, Google owns their platform and your profile is just sitting on their platform. And so you do kind of have to play by their rules. And so one of the things that we try to help contractors understand is that you don't want to really get, like, gimmicky with your Google My Business profile. And what I mean by that is, like, just stick to the things that it's telling you to do, and don't try to use it in ways that might get creative or that you think, oh, if I can cut this corner here, then maybe that'll get me some more leads or get me more eyeballs on my profile or, you know, who knows what. So, like, for example, let's say you're ABC siding company that's based out of Nevada. And you decide, oh, you know what? The people in my area are really going for this like superific type of siding. And that's all the rage right now. So I'm going to go to my Google My Business profile and change it to superific siding of Central Nevada. And all of a sudden it no longer says ABC siding, which is your actual business name, but it says superific siding of Nevada because you think that's going to get you more attention for, you know, everybody who's looking for superific siding. I'm of course making all of this up.
Yeah.
But
there is no superific siding that we know of.
Yeah. Might be a good name. But point being, Google is going to look at that and they're going to find out through just all of their like automation. They're going to find out that something about your profile name doesn't match up with
what they have on
documentation
record
and the records that they have about your business. And what they're going to do is just instantly disable your profile. It just turns off. It goes away. When people search for ABC siding, you're no longer even listed because they've disabled it. And then it's up to you to have to figure out, why did Google disable me? And what do I need to do?
Oh, guess what? They're not going to tell you they disabled it.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to call you and go, hey, Mr. Contractor, you're in violation of our terms of service. We're going to shut this down. You just happen to notice one day that it's gone. And then you're left with the question, how long has it been gone?
Right.
When did this happen?
Yeah. And they don't give you a warning. It just happens. And they don't give you, in general, because it's a free service, Google doesn't provide easy access customer service for their things that are free products.
Try finding a phone number to call.
Yeah, you won't be able to find one.
It's hard.
So you'll have to submit some kind of a support ticket online and hope that what you understand as the problem is the same way that they see the problem, and those things match up and you can very easily get it solved. But the truth of the matter is you probably won't get it easily solved.
And how long do those support tickets take?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, Google might tell you, hey, we think we can get this resolved in 3 to 5 days, but we've had clients that have gone through this same scenario and have been weeks or even months without their Google My Business profile. And the cost to your business because of that is tremendous. So that's why we say, like, don't try to get gimmicky with it. Like, don't try to break the rules, play outside the box, you know, just stick to what's basic and what's obvious about how they're telling you to use the tool. And you should be safe in that way and be able to get the maximum exposure and maximum leads out of using this tool just by following their rules. If you try to get cute, you're going to get into trouble.
So Don, you said something that our listeners might not have followed. You said, okay, don't get cute. Don't add superific siding to your business name and try to change it because it doesn't match the records that they have on file.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the records that they have on file. So when you first claim that business listing, they're going to do something really old school that I think is funny because they're Google. They're going to mail you a postcard.
Yeah.
Why are they doing that? Because you are putting in a physical address of a business location that is somewhere on the planet. And Google needs to verify this is legit and that you're getting, you know, so, and that is a protection for all of us. What they don't want to happen is they don't want one of your competitors or some crazy person who's bored to claim, you know, their local Domino's pizza franchise and say, this is my business, and then start posting nonsense and garbage on it.
Right.
So Google has put together a verification process. And so when you go through that verification process to claim that listing, you're either going to have to receive a code that's texted to you at a phone number. And then I've personally, when I've tried to help businesses do this, that even becomes an issue. Let's say you've got a phone system where there's an automated answering, like, thank you for calling ABC Siding, press 1 if you know. Well, you can't get a verification code to that number that has like a phone tree. So then your choice is, well, maybe I give them the owner's cell phone number to receive that texted verification code. Well, whatever phone number is verified is the phone number that's going to be published on your Google My Business listing. The point of all of this is follow the rules, understand the rules, play by the rules. It's a free listing. Don't get cute, because if something goes sideways, it is so difficult to unwind it. And like Don said, you're not going to be able to call somebody.
Yeah. So, okay. I know we've walked through some pretty, you know, significant, what can sound like almost scare tactics in terms of talking about like things to pay attention to. But we do this because we've seen the pain that it can cause a contractor when things go sideways. And so we want to help try to educate y'all, help you understand a little bit about how to do things well so that you can use it. And when you do use it correctly and use it well, it can be a fantastic source of leads and engagement with your customers. So it really is a fantastic tool to have a part of your marketing mix overall, and to use it well, it can help your business be really successful. We do think there are things that you need to learn to do well and how to be able to manage it well. And so we want to help you be able to do that. And in fact, right now, if you are listening to this episode, when it first goes live in the beginning part of 2023, we are offering a digital course for contractors that's called the Contractor Marketing Game Plan. And a part of this course is going to cover how to set up and use your Google My Business profile accurately and to maximize the type of leads that you can get through that profile. So we want to encourage you to check out fatcatstrategies.com/course and see if the Contractor Marketing Game Plan course could be right for you, and to take a look at that and how you can succeed with your Google My Business profile as well. So go check that out at fatcatstrategies.com/course, and we will look forward to talking to you again next time on Digital Marketing for Contractors. We'll see you then.
Thanks, Don.
Digital Marketing for Contractors is created by Fat Cat Strategies. For more information, visit fatcatstrategies.com.